Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Only at True North stores, new True Rewards members stack your savings at the pump. Sign up and earn 15 cents a gallon on your first fill-up. Second fill, get 30 cents off a gallon. Then earn a massive 40 cents off a gallon on your third fill-up. Join now. This offer won't last. Find the True Rewards app in your favorite app store. Download and click the star to sign up. Must be a new member of both True Rewards and Shell Fuel Rewards to qualify. Limit 20 gallons per fill. Additional terms apply. Offer ends August 3rd. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
When you look at the offense as a whole, I think you guys haven't produced like you wanted to this month. For you, how much of that is on the players, on coaching?
It's never on coaching. Okay, coaches work their asses off every single day. You know, we're not going to finger point here and say it's coaches. It's never on the coaches. Okay, they work hard. The message is clear. All the work is done prior. Sometimes they got to go out there and they got to play the game. You know, it's always been about the players. Always. You know, I played this game a long time. Never once have I blamed the coach for anything. I mean, we worked our asses off to get better. They gave us information, and we used it. These guys understand what the game is, man. These coaches, I never had such a group of coaches that worked as hard as they do. I mean, they're here freaking diligently. They go over everything. They sit players every day. These coaches, they work their asses off. So, and I know every coach's staff is like that. So, sometimes, and the players know. Sometimes, you got to put the onus on the players. They got to go out there, and they got to play the game and play the game the right way. We can't hit for them. We can't catch the balls for them. We can't pitch for them. We can't throw strikes for them. They got to do that.
Dave Martinez, that was after their Saturday loss to the lowly Marlins 4-3. They lost again yesterday 3-1. They've dropped 8 in a row, the Nationals have. And Dave Martinez says it's never on coaching. Never on coaching. Coaches work their you-know-whats off every single day. It's never on the coaches. Closed quote. Got a lot of attention, those comments. Probably not the best form of communication during a 7-game losing streak. Let's not forget, Dave Martinez managed the Washington Nationals to its only World Series title in 2019. And since, it's been a struggle. His overall record, 8 seasons as the team's manager, is 493 and 609. Joining us right now to talk about not only Dave Martinez's comments, but the elevation of Brady House now to the big league team and a few other things is Andrew Golden. Andrew does a great job covering the Nats for the Washington Post. You can follow Andrew on X, on Twitter, at Andrew C. Golden. So let's start with the manager's comments on Saturday. Any fallout from them?
Yeah, I think there was some fallout. I heard in our reports yesterday that there were some players who were upset by the comments and who were not happy. The term I heard was pissed. And so obviously it was not received very well. And obviously it's a little bit tough to have your manager say that. You know, I think, what Davey was trying to get across is that, players have to execute. And I do think there is some validity to that, obviously. But I think that the way that you present it and the way that you say it and also who you say it to means a lot. So definitely some fallout and a little bit of a tough situation that the Nationals are currently navigating as they're experiencing an 8-game losing streak.
So did any of the fallout include a reaction from Mike Rizzo or ownership?
We haven't heard anything in terms of any reaction from Mike Rizzo ownership that, you know, I did notice that Mike Rizzo was around yesterday in the clubhouse, more talking to players. He's typically in the clubhouse, but just been not talking to players or lockers as much as I noticed he was yesterday. I haven't heard anything in terms of ownership, but I do know that Mike Rizzo was around yesterday. Some of the front office was around. And so that was obviously something that was interesting given the fallout of what happened on Saturday.
Andrew, you know, after these comments were made and you hearing and reporting that, you know, the players were, quote, pissed, close quote, did he walk them back at all yesterday, either privately or publicly?
Yes, publicly. I did ask him, how do you hope the players will respond to it? And he said that he talked to a lot of the players and that his comments weren't about them. And I think what he said was, he said, I never mentioned anything about the players. I appreciate those players. I played. I understand how hard this game is. They know that. It's a difficult game. These guys are out there playing hard. We have to do the little things. As I talked about, we got to start doing the little things. We'll start winning some of those games. So I followed up with him and kind of asked, well, if it wasn't directed at them, who was it directed at? He was saying it wasn't directed at the players and that his comments weren't directed at the players. But obviously, if you read the comments on Saturday, he specifically said that the onus is on the players. And so there definitely was some pushback there. But he did kind of walk back the comments, trying to say that his intentions were not to make it about the players. But obviously, the comments on Saturday were pretty telling.
What do you think his state of mind is? You know, you're with the team, you cover the team. Is this frustration? Is this him feeling some pressure of maybe job jeopardy with future employment? Where do you think this came from?
Well, I think as my colleague Chelsea James reported earlier this year, is that, you know, they had to pick up his contract. So there's a team option to pick up his contract by July. So I think that certainly plays into it. But I think it is some frustration. I think the reality is that the Nationals believe that they had a chance to compete and contend and compete for and be more competitive than they have been the last few seasons. So I think you're just feeling some frustration of they're not producing the way that they know that they can. I think the team has the talent to be better than what they're playing to right now. It's just very uncharacteristic of them to be, you know, struggling in this way, losing this many games and not scoring many runs. I mean, they struggle, their offense has struggled at times, but for this prolonged stretch has really been, I think, frustrating for the group as a whole, because I think they all know they can perform better. And so I think these comments are just a result of a little bit of frustration with just how the season's going to this point.
Just tell me real quickly, Andrew, you said that they can pick up, what, the option for another year on his contract? What is the state of his contract right now? For another year,
they can pick up his option. They can pick up his contract for another year. So that deadline is in July.
So for 2026, he's not under contract for 2026. He's managing in the final year of his deal.
Yes, with a potential option for 2026, a team option for 2026, or a club.
How unusual is that? Manager gets to a final year of his deal without any sort of additional, guarantee.
I don't think that's particularly unusual per se. I think it's obviously seeing how the season plays out and obviously seeing how the rebuild unfolded. And so I believe he did that before and he got the contract extension during the 2023 season. So I don't think it's particularly unusual per se. So I don't think it's anything, you know, different than what it typically is.
You know, what's interesting is, you know, they are now 11 games under 500 with this 8-game losing skid. And by the way, losing and getting swept by Miami at home is, you know, not a good look as part of it. But going into this stretch of these games against the Mets, they were, what, 2 or 3 games under 500? They'd been playing well. They had that, you know, 2-0 win over Texas with, Patrick Corbin actually pitching, I think, a complete game for Texas on the other side.
Yeah.
And there was, like, you know, just a week and a half ago, this sense that this was actually an overachieving team, right or wrong?
Yeah, I think they were showing signs they were trending in the right direction, right? Like I think they came off the Seattle series and the Diamondback series, and they scored, you know, double-digit runs in a few of those games, and they were firing on all cylinders. And then the calendar just turned to June and just hasn't really been there. I think they hung around with the Cubs for the most part, who are one of the best teams in baseball, and there was okay, yes, they lost 2 out of 3, but they're playing well. And the Rangers, you know, they've been struggling offensively too, and they lost 2 out of 3, and it was like, okay, like, they still hung around. They were in those games. And even the Mets, I think that's also part of the tough part too, is like, they're really close in a lot of these games, and if one or two things go in a different direction, maybe they're back on track. I think that's what the tough part's been too. In the Mets game on Tuesday, I mean, they had the lead until the 8th inning, and then you know, if one thing goes a different way, then maybe they win that first game. I think it's just been tough as well that they've been so close, and you can see that, like, they have the potential to play with some better teams. They're just not executing in those particular moments.
Yeah, the Met game, they took that 4-2 lead into the eighth, I think it was.
And then that bat, you have Starling Marte down 0-2 with two outs, and then you walk Marte. You have Soto, you know, 0-2, and you throw him a slider over the plate, and then Robert Hassel couldn't make the play in right field. Everything just kind of falls apart. You know, it was like they were so close to winning that game, doing everything right, and then like a couple of at bats don't go their way, and everything kind of falls apart. You know,
I'm not to go back to a game, you know, over a week ago, but I talked about that game a little bit because I had actually watched that game. He pitched again yesterday and pitched great. Mackenzie Gore has been incredible, especially over, five out of his last six starts or something like that. But did you think that Davey pulled him unnecessarily in that game against the Mets? He pulled him in the seventh. I think he had, I'm going back to look at it right now, but it was like 80-something pitches. He had retired the side in order the inning before, and I thought he should have come out for the seventh. What did you think? I know that's going back a ways now.
That was a tough call. Like I think obviously like you don't want to overtax these guys in the front end of the season. Maybe if it's deeper in the season, maybe he goes a little bit longer. But also you're facing the Mets, and it's like there is an argument to make that like you're facing the Mets, like you need a win badly. Like you have your ace on the mound who has honestly just been a Cy Young candidate. I would argue he's been a Cy Young candidate, but you want to leave that guy out there. Like that's your best guy, you know, and so. I think there definitely is an argument to make to leave McKenzie in the game there with his pitch count where it was. But, you know, don't know the full context of the situation and maybe, you know, what McKenzie's dealing with, if there are things going on, like what was the decision-making there? You know, obviously we don't know the full context, but at least based on what you explained, like it would have made sense for McKenzie to go out there for the seventh inning.
You just said something. Is he a legitimate Cy Young candidate in the National League?
I absolutely think so. I mean, his strikeout numbers out there were some of the best in the game. His ERA, like even yesterday, like you look at his outing, he didn't have his best stuff, but he allowed two runs over six innings, and hung in there. I mean, you look at statistically, I mean, he's up there with some of the best guys in the game. He's a sub-3 ERA. He's striking out over 10 guys per nine innings. I mean, he's been lights out for most of this year. So I legitimately think he should be in that conversation. I think, you know, also, part of that is your team is playing well, and so I think that probably will hurt his case. But I think he's been—I put him up there with a lot of the starting National League pitchers this year for just how good he's been.
Who is right now? I haven't pulled up the odds. I'm just curious: is Skeens, Wheeler, who's the favorite right now? I mean, we're so early in the season, but I'm curious as to whether or not he is among those being, you know, odds-wise, that he's in the hunt. Because, to your point, he leads all pitchers, National League, American League, the big leagues in strikeouts with 119. His whip is outstanding. His WAR is outstanding. He's, you know, you talked about, some of the other numbers. His ERA is at 2.89, fallen significantly. All-star first. Abrams, Wood, and Gore all have a really good chance of being National League All-Stars. I mean, at this point...
I'm looking at the odds right now. It's Skeens, Wheeler, Yamamoto, Sale, Webb, and Gore. It's like Gore is the highest odds at the moment. I'm looking at Fox He's been that good. He's been that good. And so, I think James Wood should certainly be an all-star. It's just a matter of whether he starts or not. Mackenzie Gore, I think, is as good of a case as anybody to be an all-star starter. I think C.J. Abrams, obviously, is tough at shortstop. There's just a lot of guys in that mix. Obviously, Ellie, Lindor, like you name those guys. But C.J. Abrams in that mix, too. So I think those three have been special so far this year.
I'm looking at those odds now. I just found them. So Gore, like at 30-1. Skeens is a pretty heavy favorite right now at -180. We are talking to Andrew Golden. Yeah. Andrew does a great job covering the Nats for the Post. So they did make some news yesterday calling up Brady House. He's been terrific in AAA. So what, you know, this process and bringing him up, where will he play? You know, does he give him a strong bat from, you know, the right-handed spot that maybe they don't have? Talk a little bit about Brady House's call-up.
Yeah, I think this is, you know, obviously given what happened this weekend, I think this is a very exciting day for the Nationals. I think Brady House is a really talented player who obviously was a first-round pick back in 2021, and he has risen to the minor league system. He was injured his first year, and in the past couple seasons has really improved, and this year has been his best year yet. What you're going to get is when he makes contact and puts the ball in play, like he's going to hit it hard, but he chases out of the zone a little bit more than the average hitter, and so that's something to watch is how he adjusts and how pitchers adjust to him at the big league level. But I think he's going to get every chance to play third base and be their everyday third baseman. As you mentioned, he'll provide a right-handed bat in their lineup. They're very left-handed heavy, and so I think that Brady, you know, if he performs well, the goal will be for him to be in the middle of the order there. But obviously, you don't want to rush him into it per se. But I think he has the potential to be a really talented player and a guy who can be an impact power bat for the Nationals.
Are we going to see Cade Cavalli soon or not?
I think we will. I think the key for him is I think he's pitching well right now. But I think the key is just making sure that he can repeat those things consistently over the games, making sure his mechanics are sound, and making sure that once he gets to the big league level, he can pitch for the rest of the season. So we don't have any sense of when exactly that will happen, but I think it will hopefully come soon for the Nationals. And hopefully, once he gets to the big league level, the goal is for him to pitch the rest of the season. And so I think that's what the Nationals are very focused on.
All right. Let's finish up by going back to Davey Martinez again, because I'm just wondering, sure, with Colorado coming to town starting tonight for a 4-game set after losing 3 to Miami. So we are talking about 2 pretty bad baseball teams. The Marlins, you know, came into this thing, I think, 16 games under 500 when they got to Washington. The Rockies are 14-57. They are the worst team in baseball, and it's not even close. Could a bad 4-game series against Colorado, let's just say they lose 3 of 4, could that put Davey in trouble midweek?
I think so, given how the Rockies are playing. I think the Nationals need to have a really dominant series, and they are better than the Colorado Rockies. There's no doubt they're better than the Colorado Rockies, and they need to play like it and win those games. So I do think that if there is another bad series and they aren't able to take advantage of that, I think that would have definitely the impact on Davey Martinez and his job security. I'm not guaranteeing or saying that they would, you know, let him go. I mean, I don't know if that's the case, but I do think they need to go out here and have a good performance and show that they're past it. And so I think that's why you're seeing them make the move for Brady House and Dalen Lyle, is to get a spark so that way they can get things going. But they are better than the Colorado Rockies, and they need to show that this week.
Yeah, I mean, the Rockies are horrific. I mean, potentially trending towards all-time bad. And they're not playing in Denver, where things get weird. They're playing here over the next 4 nights. And, you know, I'm just curious. I'm sure you've thought about this, and I'm not trying to fire Davey Martinez. I like Davey. He's done a nice job, and there haven't, you know, necessarily been a lot of weapons to produce much better results provided to him. They're all doing their best given the ownership situation. But have you thought about who might replace him? Is there anybody obvious that would replace him if they got swept by the Rockies or lost 3 of 4 to Colorado?
Yeah, I don't think there's anybody who's obvious. And I really have not thought about who would replace him per se, but I don't think that there is an obvious candidate. I mean, as you mentioned, I mean, I don't think that, and I think this is important too, is, you know, contextualizing the hitters and their offense. Like, this isn't all in Davey Martinez. It's not all in the hitters or the coaches. Like, I think it also involves the fact that, like, the guys that he's been given the past couple of years, like, they've been fringe guys who were free agents who were all, like, they're, you know, bounce back candidates, and a lot of them worked out because they were bounce back candidates, right? And so it's like, you can only do so much. Like, you know, it's possible that those bounce back candidates have success. It's also possible that they're bounce back candidates for a reason, right? And so I think, like, you can't fully blame Dave Martinez for some of the hitting production, given that he's been given, you know, a roster, given the Nationals' limited budget because of ownership. So I don't think you can fully blame him. But I haven't thought too much about who can replace them. I don't think there's going to be a person who comes in and, you know, completely elevates them and turns the season around. Like, I think I don't know if that's necessarily the case. And so I don't know if that really makes sense to make a firing in hopes of being a spark for a team that is going to be, you know, well below 500. But I'm sure there are options out there. But I haven't had a real thought about, you know, who exactly could replace him, who would elevate the team, if that makes sense.
All right, we'll finish up with a non-Nats question, because there was a massive trade yesterday in baseball. Just talk about what the Giants and Red Sox pulled off yesterday and your thoughts on it.
Yeah, it was a pretty crazy trade. Obviously, the Red Sox wanted to build around Rafael Devers for years, and I think that, you know, maybe all of us kind of downplayed how bad that relationship had kind of frayed over time. So, I mean, I was I was shocked, and I was trying to text a friend who, you know, covers the NFL, and he was like, what's the equivalent of this? And I was trying to explain it in NBA terms. It's not Luka Doncic's level. I don't think the Devers is Luka Doncic's level, but, you know, in terms of the shock and surprise, I think it's kind of up there. I think for the Giants, it's good because they struggle to sign free agents, and so you have a guy that's locked in for years to come who you know that you can rely on. How long he'll have his peak, given that he's already a DH and already declining a little bit, like, it kind of remains to be seen, but I think he'll be an impact player in the Red Sox. I think have an opportunity because the Giants took on all of his contract to reallocate those resources and try to, you know, sign some more free agents. So it should be interesting to see. I think the Red Sox have to take that money and use it elsewhere for this trade to be good for them. But I think for the Giants, it's a really good trade to get a superstar that they might not have gotten in free agency.
I lied. I got one more for you. Have the Orioles kind of turned things around? I mean, are they any sort of threat to end up having a much better season than a month ago would have indicated?
Yeah, they're definitely playing better. I mean, can they turn it all the way around to make the playoffs? I don't know, but they definitely have played better. Sometimes, you know, maybe a midseason change like is helpful to turn things around, and so I guess for the Orioles it's worked out pretty well, and you know, maybe that was the spark that they needed to get things back on track. So sometimes in season firings can be beneficial.
Yeah, I think they've won like 14 out of their last 18 or 19, something like that. Andrew, thanks, really appreciate it.
Yeah, thanks for having me on.
Andrew Golden, everybody, at Andrew C. Golden on X, on Twitter. David Martinez, look, it's just not, you can't say that. He might not be wrong. You can't say that when your team just lost for a seventh game in a row. You can't put your arms up in the air and say, not my fault. Players, they're the issues. That usually doesn't go well for anybody involved, and it sounds like the players weren't happy at all. And look, I don't know. Are the Nats, I mean, they don't have to pay him beyond this year. Could they add somebody internally to finish up the season? I would say, I like Davey too, but I would say that with the Colorado Rockies in town for four games starting tonight, four straight games against the worst team in baseball, you better win three of the four, like when you're in this position. Seems like it would be one of those situations, at least in another market. We'll see if it happens here. All right. Ben Standig was at minicamp all last week. We'll talk to him next. Kevin Sheehan Show, the Team 980 and the Team980.com.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Wherever summer takes you, save on your journey with True North convenience stores and Red Bull. Enjoy the new Red Bull Summer Edition, White Peach, a perfect balance of bold, sweet, and refreshing. Right now, grab any 3 8-ounce Red Bull for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon, just in time for your next road trip. Save big all summer long with the True Rewards mobile app, available in your favorite app store. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Want to pull off the season's freshest trends? You just need the right shoes. That's where Designer Shoe Warehouse comes in. Loving wide leg jeans? Pair them with sleek, low-profile sneakers. Obsessed with the sheer trend? Try it with mesh flats. Feeling boho? Comfy sandals nail the whole free-spirited thing. Find on-trend shoes from the brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at DSW.
We're done until training camp. Next time we hear from coaches, players, see videos from practices, start talking about preseason games, it'll be training camp end of next month. Joining us right now, as he does every Monday and Friday, The Athletic's Ben Standing, at Ben Standing on X on Twitter. Ben's got a podcast called Last Man Standing, and of course he writes for The Athletic. So let's just start with a couple of players, because some of these players spoke and I have not spoken to you since. We learned something about a few players over the 3-day period last week. Let's just start with Lattimore. What did we learn from hearing from him and talking to others about his health and his prospect for being a much better player in 25 than he was at the end of 24?
Yeah, I mean, I think he was, you know, fairly candid about his year last year following the trade. That, look, he said, I arrived injured. That's not an excuse. If I'm on the field, I gotta go. I gotta make the plays. I didn't do enough of that. He said, watching the tape, he saw a guy that looked timid. He could tell by the way he was, like, you know, kind of moving out there, that he looked timid. And obviously, you know, his play, particularly in those playoff games against Tampa Bay and the Eagles, he was not very good. You know, I mean, going up against Mike Evans and A.J. Brown is not easy, but that's why you make a trade for a guy like that. But he said since the season ended, you know, he got himself some good rest. He said he focused on, like, explosive, like, strength work as opposed to heavy weights in the gym. And he said he feels, you know, pretty good coming into camp. And I thought, you know, again, preface everything we see in OTAs and minicamp with, well, actually he wasn't at OTA, but we preface everything with, you know, it's not no pads, it's not the real thing, but, like, he looked pretty competitive out there, all things being equal. And, you know, look, being healthy in June is not the same thing as being healthy week one or November or whatever, but at least it's a good start, because, you know, last year he came in hurt, missed 6 of the 8 regular season games, and then, you know, he played in the playoffs, but, you know, wasn't sharp. So if they can have him, a healthy version of him, maybe he's never going to be the Pro Bowl player he once was. You know, he last one, I believe, was in 2021. He was selected 4 times. But, you know, if he's a viable option on the perimeter in a division that has, you know, CeeDee Lamb, A.J. Brown, and others, so that goes a long, long way for this group. So I take it as a positive sign. One of my big questions this offseason was, you know, what's he going to look like? Because if he's not ready to go for minicamp, then, boy, that's going to make training camp and beyond much more concerning. So good start on that front. And, you know, I feel like he came in with, you know, ready to go and with a good attitude. So hopefully that all carries over.
Did he say anything about missing all the OTA days or not?
I don't believe so. I mean, you know, that's been kind of his MO in the past. And, you know, he obviously, I shouldn't say obviously, but, you know, he clearly had been working out on his own and doing his own thing. So, you know, it is, we all, I think, understand why the coaches would prefer the players all be there. Right. But, you know, he showed up for the mini camp, and, you know, I thought he looked pretty good. Like I said, if he had missed all that time coming off the year he had here, and then wasn't ready to go, that would have been major red flag for me. But he showed up ready to go, put in the work, you know, seemed to be, you know, sharp. There was one play in particular, just to note, it was, you know, right, unfortunately, it was right before Noah Brown got hurt the other day, but it was a play where Noah Brown was lined up against Lattimore. Brown had a move where he cut inside, then spun back towards the sideline, and he had a couple steps on Lattimore on the play, and the ball was right there, and it was in Brown's hand, and Lattimore still came up, made the play. It was an aggressive attack on the ball, knocked the ball to the ground, and again, it's only, you know, it is what it is, but that's the type of play you want to see from from a guy who you're projecting to be your top corner and be one of the better ones in the league. And, you know, again, if we're going to tout anything that's happening in these camps, to me that was a play to mention because it, you know, he didn't just sort of give up on the play. He went for it and made, you know, turned it into an incompletion when it could have been just another, you know, play against him.
Do we know anything about Noah Brown's injury?
We do not. You know, they obviously typically keep things tight. And the fact that, you know, like you said, we're not going to talk to them now until end of training camp. So I guess I would look at it like this. If, you know, when Dan Quinn talked on Thursday, he said that Noah Brown had not yet had an MRI for the injury. Okay. So presumably he's had the MRI since. I would imagine if the MRI was like the worst case scenario,
right,
we probably would have heard something by now. That'd be my guess. So,
yeah,
you know, who knows? Maybe it's, you know, whatever it may be. Maybe it is something. Maybe it's something that's not a big enough of a deal to send out red flags or to say, oh boy, we got a problem here. So I'm taking it as a positive at the moment. What that positive means ultimately in terms of training camp, you know, hard to say, but hopefully, you know, that's the proper read on this. You know, I mean, if he's out for significant time, or if not the year, then you would think they would look to bring some help in at some point. But yeah, the fact that we've heard nothing is yeah, actually positive, I would say, at this point.
I agree. You and I have talked a lot about, you know, sometimes fans just forget about last year's draft class and they focus on the most recent draft class. But most draft choices don't have breakout years in their rookie year. They have breakout years in year two or year three if they end up breaking out at all. So as we look at everybody not named Jaden Daniels and Mike Sanristil and maybe Brandon Coleman, so we're talking about a list that includes Newton and Sinnott and McCaffrey and McGee and John Baptiste, did you get a sense at any point in this offseason that they're really confident that one of those players, or maybe more than one, is going to be in position to make major contributions in year two?
Yeah, I feel like, you know, I feel like Jordan McGee would be, I guess, my answer there. You know, defensive coordinator Joe Witt Jr. talked about the fact that they had some, like, packages for him to be on the field, to be on the field. And unfortunately, you know, McGee just, you know, got injuries starting in training camp and then during the season as well, and just kind of limited his play. And then by the time he was even sort of back active, you know, the team was sort of well on its way to, you know, having the year that it did. And you know, maybe just wasn't enough time or to integrate the rookie like that. But, you know, he was the guy that they were, you know, really high on last year, drafting him in the fifth round. He's got speed at that linebacker position, which they could use. You know, look, Bobby Wagner is obviously going to the Hall of Fame, and he does a lot for this team in terms of leadership and instincts and recognizing plays that are coming. But, you know, he's not particularly sharp at this point, at least relative to his career highs as a speed option, as a cover guy. And I'm not saying that means McGee would get in there and take some reps from him. Maybe it just means they use more three linebackers in some sets than they did last year. But I think the way they were talking about him, I feel like they see an opportunity for more out of him. Again, maybe that's ultimately, you know, giving them more 4-3 looks, but I think that he would be one from the group that I would point to. And that's not to say that McCaffrey or Sinnott in particular haven't made some strides. I feel like they did. It's just that the opportunity for them, assuming that there's no injuries at receiver, just could be a little bit harder to come by. Whereas with McGee, if he's the third linebacker, then I think there's a chance for him to get out there.
Could you tell anything in watching, you know, like, as an example, who they were playing with, whether it was frontline starters or backups or even further down the list, where Chris Rodriguez gets penciled in heading into training camp?
No, not a ton in that regard. You know, Brian Robinson, you know, I think checked off the needed boxes for this time of the year in terms of, you know, showing up in camp, again, looking athletically sharp. He seems to be on his P's and Q's out there on the field. You know, and obviously based on what we have seen, he would be the lead back, all things being equal. You know, Austin Eckler, Jeremy McNichols, filling in as the sort of complementary backs to a degree. And then you have, you know, Ja'Cory Kroski, Merritt, the rookie, who I think did have a pretty good summer, or not summer, but a pretty good, you know, offseason program for them as well. So Rodriguez slimmed down a bit. You know, he runs hard. We all get that. It's just, you know, I don't know where he's fitting in terms of, like, the depth. Even if they keep four running backs, which would be essentially more than they kept last year for the most part, I would think right now it's Kroski Merritt getting that spot as opposed to Rodriguez. So, you know, look, we've talked about before, is there a world where Brian Robinson possibly gets squeezed out, either in terms of playing time or maybe even, like, if they decide to make a bold move and trade him? That's just purely just a wondering on my part. You know, in that case, then maybe Rodriguez slips on the roster because they want somebody with that size to give you the short yardage capability, if nothing else. But I think it's going to take something like that at this stage for Rodriguez to have any kind of role. I've liked him. I think you've probably liked him. But, you know, it's just only so many spots. And I do think he at least came in, I think, it with better form, better conditioning than he did a year ago. I'm sure that stood out to the coaches. But, you know, it's just going to be hard to see where he's going to fit in if they keep everybody else that's, you know, already on this roster still around come, you know, week one.
Of course, we are talking to Ben Standing. Staying offense for a moment. You know,
sure.
Learning that Brandon Coleman will be, you know, side by side with Laremy Tunsil, knowing that Sam Cosmi's coming off an injury, I'm just curious, like, when they open up against the Giants on September 7th or whatever day that is, who's the starting right guard if Cosmi's not ready to go? Is that where Allegretti plays? Does Wiley play there? What does the offensive line left to right look like opening day, best guess right now?
Yeah, I would say, like, if you're talking about playing Coleman on the left side at guard, right?
Right.
Sure, there's a world where Allegretti is just better than him in camp and all that, but you're setting it up to say Coleman's going to be the left guard, that it's sort of his job to lose. He's the upside play, all that stuff. So then, based on that, you would think, okay, Allegretti would be the most likely guy to move to the right side. He's obviously, he had a decent year last year. He's got that Kansas City Chiefs Super Bowl pedigree that, you know, he came over with. So he can play in multiple spots and give you, viable work wherever. I think with the Wiley front, the fact that they've quickly moved Coleman to guard, like, we're not having the conversation about, is he going to be guard? Is he going to compete at right tackle?
Right.
Okay, so now we can just focus on Josh Connerly and Wiley. And I would think that you keep Wiley at tackle for now because, again, you know, we can pencil in Josh Connerly to be the starting right tackle, but we'll see. He's 21, you know, pretty young. He's, you know, coming into the league as a rookie. And the whole point of everything they're doing is to give Jaden Daniels the best opportunity to succeed, not necessarily to have the best offensive line you can in 2026, right? So I think for this year, I'm not saying Connerly won't start, but I think you keep Wiley there in case he needs to be the guy to go in. And also, look, just for pure tackle depth, right? I mean, if Coleman's a guard, not that he couldn't play tackle, but, you know, Wiley is essentially the third tackle at this point. We'll see about Trent Scott and whoever else they might have. I think you keep Wiley at tackle. Allegretti would be the obvious fit. Now, they also have, you know, they signed Nate Herbig, who's been a guy who started in this league on the interior spots, you know, so he could be in the mix for sure. I don't want to rule him out. But I would guess Allegretti at right guard would be my guess as of now. Until Sam Cosmi comes back.
Yeah, it's important for people to understand Josh Connerly Jr., no matter what, you know, how much the part he looks, he's a rookie. It is possible that, you know, they play him, but they play him with Andrew Wiley to start in the first few games of the year until they're comfortable. Let's flip it around to the defensive side of the ball. Did anybody just stand out to you? Like, okay, and I'm talking about the new guys. Well, you can throw in, because they did, Daron Payne. But were there any standouts among Kinlaw, Goldman, like, oh, yeah, no, they got it right there. He looks the part. He's big. He looks different than what they've had, and they're playing him on the outside. It's just anything from the defensive side of the ball with the new guys.
I think the biggest thing is just the how they look. You know, again, no pads, no tackling. You know, if Eddie Goldman's a run stuffer, right, it's hard to show what he can do when there's none of that kind of happening. And, you know, Javon Kinlaw is a massive guy. But, again, you know, until he's out there, it's hard to see exactly how he's going to fare wherever they line him up. But just in terms of size, like, okay, step one, we need to get longer and we need to get bigger. And they did that with Kinlaw and Goldman and Dietrich Wise on top of, you know, having Payne out there. You know, Johnny Newton is not necessarily the biggest defensive tackle right in the league. And, you know, like a Dorrance Armstrong is a solid size guy, but, you know, he's a defensive end. He's not that huge presence. So I think, you know, at a minimum, they've now done that, gives them the opportunity at least to be a lot better against the run, to be more disruptive. Ultimately, of course, the talent is going to have to play out. And, you know, Kinlaw, you know, a former first-round pick, you know, he was a surprise signing for most of us because, at least in terms of the numbers that he got, because we hadn't seen that level of production, but they clearly believe that there's a lot there. And, you know, I spoke to him one day out there and enjoyed the conversation. He seemed to be really engaged and you know, really happy that he's there. You know, of course, he's from this area. And, you know, the fact that Adam Peters believes in him enough to sign him, you know, says, I think, something and helps his confidence. But, you know, and then, you know, you mentioned Payne. Obviously, they were gushing about his work out there. And some of that is, you know, on the days that were not there. There was one where Joe Witt said that he got kind of scolded by Dan Quinn because right. Payne went out there and was being, like, overly disruptive in the best ways possible and, like, messing up the sort of their practice plans. But, you know, that's what they want to see ultimately, a guy like that playing at a high level. So I think that's, you know, we've talked about that. Daron Payne playing anywhere close to that 2022 level would be massive for this defense. So I think it's just that. It's ultimately, you know, maybe it's the akin of when they get on the bus, they look formidable. That's not, that has to be way more than that come game day. But for now, that's kind of about as much as we can look at. And from that end, I think they did a good job of getting guys. And hopefully, you know, when they start practicing for real with pads and so on, that, you know, it shows as well.
So last one, maybe we can talk a little about game five tonight. I know you're going to be into that as well. But give me the one thing out of the last several weeks and just the offseason in general, actually, you know, post Philadelphia through now, nothing until training camp. What do you feel the most confident about in terms of new? We're confident in Jaden Daniels. We like the coaching staff. We like Terry McLaurin, et cetera. What are you most confident that they, you know, have accomplished here in the offseason?
Well, again, let's see where Lattimore looks come the, you know, training camp in the season. However, you know, if in fact he is, you know, healthy when this all starts, you know, again, he is in June. We'll see about that. But if he's healthy, I mean, and then with the addition of Trey Amos, I thought did have a pretty good offseason program. He's got this, you know, we talk about them getting longer and bigger. That's not just on the line, that's also in the secondary, and that's where Trey Amos comes in. Jonathan Jones is a solid vet who's been on the league, played for Super Bowl camp in New England, and then of course you've got Sanders still, whether he's ultimately the starting slot or outside, a guy who showed a lot. That I really needs to be emphasized how much better that group is, and at a minimum on paper and at a maximum for real, than a year ago when you had Benjamin St. Juice, Emmanuel Forbes, and Mike Davis as your outside corners, which led to Sanders still having to move outside, which led to the trade for Lattimore. Like, they should be significantly better at corner if everybody is healthy. And, you know, look, we all understand there's questions about the defensive end and the pass rush perhaps, and cornerbacks, you know, rely on the edges, relies on the pass rush to help their cause, but it goes the other way too. And if they're able to have a steady presence on the perimeter and that allows Joe Witt to send blitzes as he wants, you know, I think that just goes such a long way to help his defense. So, you know, again, the Lattimore injury situation is going to be one I'm going to have to stay vigilant on. We all will. But if that's right, combined with Trey Amos, et cetera, I think that corner room could be a lot better than it was at this point last year.
By the way, this is the time of year or coming up soon where you'll write something about a surprise cut. Do you have somebody in mind? Last year, by the way, I think I threw out Benjamin St. Juste as a possibility, but it didn't happen, obviously. But do you have somebody in mind that you'll write about or talk about here soon?
I don't think I do, but not because it's not, you know, somebody will probably be a surprise or multiple somebodies. It's just that, like, the way they set up the roster with their moves in the offseason, they kind of, you know, added enough pieces to get by, and they only had the 5 draft picks, so it's not like they all of a sudden have, like, a surplus of guys at any spot. I think there'll be some interesting options on the defensive line because they have more bodies than they do likely roster spots, but I don't know if anybody's going to, you know, I don't think anybody's going to be surprised if Sheldon Day doesn't make the team. So, I don't know. At the moment, I don't know if I have a surprise.
You know, Sheldon Day would not count.
Yeah, right. I mean, like I said, I think Brian Robinson checked a lot of the boxes. So, you know, he might have been somebody I probably did mention a few weeks ago. But, you know, I don't know if we'd go there now. So, I honestly don't think I have somebody today on that front, which is obviously, you know, both good and bad. I mean, you know, I think they have – I think they've done a good enough job of adding pieces to where they had some concerns, but they also have some younger guys or upside players who can hopefully work out for them. So no, I don't know if I really have anyone right now that would count.
That's all right. Don't force it.
You know, I mean,
something will come to you in the next few weeks, I'm sure. I mean, we might think Allegretti or Wiley or somebody like that as we approach the season. All right, real quickly, because I got to run, but who do you like tonight?
Oh man, I feel like the Pacers blew it. This feels like an OKC win, you know, somewhat comfortably as it can be for a series where it's been pretty tight, pretty competitive. But you know, going back home with the momentum after Game 4, it just feels like the Thunder win. I'm not saying the series is over at that point, but it does feel like the Pacers probably blew their shot to win this thing when they didn't close that in the fourth quarter. So I'd like to see the Pacers win, but both of these teams have been really good. It's been a fun series to watch for sure.
All right. Talk to you later. Thanks.
Awesome. See ya.
Ben Standing, everybody. Caitlin Clark set another standard. And Dak Prescott talking legacy. We'll finish it up with those two things next. Kevin Sheehan Show. The Team 980, theteam980.com. We're free and live on the Odyssey app.
All right, the Boston Red Sox have traded away slugging third baseman Rafael Devers to the San Francisco Giants in exchange for 3 pitchers, Kyle Harrison, Jordan Hicks, and minor league pitcher Jose Bello. Also included in this deal was outfielder prospect James Tibbs. The Red Sox sent Kyle Harrison down to AAA Wooster. J.J. Spahn wins his first career major with a monster 64-foot putt after a soggy day at Oakmont. That's the longest made putt of the day. Spahn wins the U.S. Open. Shohei Ohtani will make his pitching debut tonight versus the Padres. This is 21 months removed from a second UCL surgery. Ohtani will likely pitch only 1 or 2 innings as a continuation of his rehab. Joey Chestnut has announced in a statement on Twitter he is returning to the Nathan's Hot Dog Eating Contest nearly 1 year removed from his Netflix head-to-head matchup versus Takeru Kobayashi. Chestnut will look to break his record of 76 hot dogs in 10 minutes. The Nats have dropped 8 in a row. Following a sweep by the Miami Marlins, they take on the Rockies tonight. Brady House has been called up and will likely make his debut. The Nats again play the Rockies on 106.7 The Fan at 6:45. Nats on Deck with Charlie and Dave at 6:15. This update is sponsored by the Team 980 YouTube page. Just open the app, type in the Team 980, hit subscribe. Kevin Sheehan is live from 10 to 1 and Craig Hoffman from 4 to 7. Don't forget to like the stream and turn on notifications to stay up to date on all things DC sports. And that is what's trending.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Only at True North stores, new True Rewards members stack your savings at the pump. Sign up and earn 15 cents a gallon on your first fill-up. Second fill, get 30 cents off a gallon. Then earn a massive 40 cents off a gallon on your third fill-up. Join now. This offer won't last. Find the True Rewards app in your favorite app store. Download and click the star to sign up. Must be a new member of both True Rewards and Shell Fuel Rewards to qualify. Limit 20 gallons per fill. Additional terms apply. Offer ends August 3rd. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I've never felt like this before. It's like you just get me. I feel like my true self with you. Does that sound crazy? And it doesn't hurt that you're gorgeous. Okay, that's it. I'm taking you home with me. I mean, you can't find shoes this good just anywhere. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at your DSW store or DSW.com.
So our good friend Sabah sent me... she sent me this clearly fake Indiana Fever tweet that says the Fever and the Liberty played a game on Saturday with 20.9 million people watching, the most watched WNBA game in history. Yeah, that would be like the most watched WNBA game history by like 10 times or something like that. No, that's obviously not true, Sabah. Sabah sends me a lot of things from fake and parody websites. I guess, Sabah, they're doing this. You gotta get a little bit more discerning. I think I could go back and find no less than 10 tweets over the last 2 years that she has sent me that have just been from parody websites. But Caitlin Clark set a career mark for herself in the WNBA, making 8 threes. She was outstanding, 32 points in her return in a game that I actually turned on and watched for a while right at the correct time when she buried 3 logo threes within like 3 possessions. It was pretty exciting. It's about the only WNBA that's worth watching. Hey, real quickly, Dak Prescott said this morning he wants to win championships, the legacy, the things that come from whatever comes after I finish playing will take care of itself, but I want to win a championship. Be damned if it's just for my legacy or if it's for this team, for my personal being, for my sanity. Yeah, the legacy will take care of itself. I have to stay where my feet are. Hey, Dak, stay upright for 17 games and have your team get to the postseason and win more than one game. That would be a start. Championship, they're far from that. Back tomorrow. Chris is next.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Only at True North stores, new True Rewards members stack your savings at the pump. Sign up and earn 15 cents a gallon on your first fill-up. Second fill, get 30 cents off a gallon. Then earn a massive 40 cents off a gallon on your third fill-up. Join now. This offer won't last. Find the True Rewards app in your favorite app store. Download and click the star to sign up. Must be a new member of both True Rewards and Shell Fuel Rewards to qualify. Limit 20 gallons per fill. Additional terms apply. Offer ends August 3rd. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Dollar Shave Club is the real grooming MVP. Their six-blade razor gives you the closest, most comfortable shave. The four-blade features swift rinse tech for longer, thicker hair. And the handle has a no-slip 360-degree diamond pattern grip for comfort and control. Shave butter works great with their razors. It's translucent for precision and delivers a long-lasting glide that hydrates the skin. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun and use code HOMERUN for 20% off your order of $20 or more. Plus free shipping. Whatever you shave, welcome to the club.